second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day, enjoying this beautiful weather here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Three more hours to go. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Big Joe on the go every Friday at this time. Main Street Preps is where you need to be looking tonight for all your high school scores and action. And Joe now joins us. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, I have a there's a community neighborhood garage sale that started at 8 o'clock this morning. And best way to put it is, you know, on like pitcher day in Alabama when they let the fans in, they go to pitcher, they get in line with Saban, they all take off sprinting. At 8 o'clock this morning, my neighborhood was that. There were 500 people in this neighborhood at yard sales on a Friday.
On a Friday?
It is bewildering. I came out a little while ago to go to the gym. There's a lady parked in my driveway. I said, ma'am, I said, I need to get out. Do you mind? She's like, just give me 15 minutes and I'll be right back.
Do they work in your neighborhood?
I don't know. I don't know these people. She was probably 130. I was more worried she was going to die in my neighbor's yard than get back over here. This is a whole subculture I had no idea existed. This is fascinating.
So you live in a retirement community is what you're telling
so.
Us.
But you know what?
Yeah, it's you and Tim Duggar.
I'm seeing ages from probably 18 to 90. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is amazing.
I mean, we do this stuff, and you're right. It turns into a logjam in the neighborhood when we do these neighborhood garage and yard sales.
Right.
But typically, it's like Saturday, Sunday, not Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Wow.
Yeah, well, they're doing it again tomorrow, too. And I'm like, there's nothing left. I mean, they just came in and taking everything and gone. So it's today it's from 8 to noon, and tomorrow it's from 9 to 1. It's just, again, these subcultures, I had no idea that this whole world existed, and it's just unbelievable.
I have the same love for pets as you do. Obviously, we do on this show. We're a very pet-friendly show. And I love the fact that you go to shelters and you try to get dogs adopted. And I'm going to blank on the name this week, and she was so cute. Is it Lucy, Lucille?
Lucille, yeah.
Did she find a home? Did she find a home?
She was the Mount Juliet Animal Care and Control, and she's already been adopted. And so she's living the good life. And the one we showed last week at Dixon County, the big German Shepherd, she got adopted. So we live in a wonderful area that just embraces these shelter pets, and it's fantastic. And I wish, like we all do, that these shelters did not exist. That means that all the dogs and cats have beautiful homes. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is. So all we can keep doing is sending out the awareness for all these people that do such good work. And there's so many people around Middle Tennessee that just give their lives to these animals, man. And I shudder to think what it would be like if they weren't around. So success this week that Lucille got a nice home, and we're happy.
Awesome. Isn't it sickening when you just hear what people do with animals? Just drop them. I mean, at least if you're going to drop them off at a shelter. But the people just, like, throw dogs or cats, you know, kittens, puppies, like, just out on the side of the road or whatever in a bag. It's like, what kind of human being are you? I mean, honestly.
Not only that, Darren, that's the one that gets me. Then the ones who get it for 2 weeks and bring it back and said, yeah, it's not really us. And
right.
That gets me really upset. But I focus on the positive, man, that Lucille got a home.
Well, I didn't know him personally, transitioning to something else. Sad news. I was Facebook friends with him, interacted on Facebook, didn't really know him personally, but I know people like you and Greg Arias and others that were entrenched in the high school football community, how much he meant to the high school football community and high school athletics. He was big. Mike Mulder, I saw where he passed away this week. Sad news.
This is the second week in a row now. I had to come on with you guys to talk about a dear friend. You know, last week was Hall passed away. This week, Mike Mulder. Mike shared a unbelievable passion for high school football, and not just with the big schools. I mean, he knew more about 1A and 2A and 3A schools than just about anybody in the state of Tennessee, and he passed away from COVID the other night. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he just said he wasn't feeling good. And I was like, hey, man, go get checked out. You know, don't leave me hanging. I need you for high school football season. And then I get the note Wednesday that he passed away. It's a huge void for high school football, especially in kind of southern Middle Tennessee, because he had a show on Friday night called Friday Night Main Event. He had coaches on across the state. And his just pure love and passion for these kids and for the communities, for the coaches, it's gone now. And I talked to his co-host about 30 minutes ago, and he's stunned. I'm stunned. We're all stunned. I mean, it just, I want this over with. I want it to end. We're losing too many good people. Mike Mulder was at the top. He was just a good man. And we always get together at the state high school football championships. And Chase, you remember Mike. He'd hang out with us. And
yeah.
Just a good guy, knew his things, didn't take himself seriously, but really put the kids and the programs first. And I'm devastated. He was just a good man, and it's really tough.
Powerhouse game, Oakland and Lipscomb. What a crowd, what a finish, huh?
It was unbelievable. And Lipscomb dominated probably 75% of that game, but all that matters is the final score. And Lipscomb and that Alex Broom, running back at Lipscomb, the quarterback Luther Richardson, I mean, those guys are fantastic. And Oakland, I think, was a little shell-shocked, made some mistakes. It was packed there last night. Eddie George was there. I mean, it was just the perfect environment for high school football. But Oakland started to get together late in the third quarter, and then the starting moment was they scored. It was 21-20 Lipscomb. There were 6 minutes to go in the game. And I look over the sideline, and I see Kevin Creasy hold two fingers in there. I'm like, and I'm thinking, he's not going to go for two, right? Just tie the game up, whatever. He goes for two, gets it. They're up 20, and that changed the game. Lipscomb had not been behind. Now they're behind. Oakland comes out and scores again, 29-21. But Lipscomb comes right back. They get down to the two-yard line, last play of the game, and they ran up the middle. And Oakland was stopping them in the fourth up the middle. They're up the middle. And they stopped the running back and game over. But that's the game that we all wanted, we all hoped we would get, and lived up to everything that we could possibly imagine.
JoJo, do you think that Oakland showed a little bit of vulnerability with that last night, or was it just they were playing a good team and they had to do a little extra to get the win?
I think all those things, Chase, all those things. It was a huge crowd. Oakland, you know, has not really played that level of competition yet. They fumbled the kick. Lipscomb took the first drive, drove it down their throat, scored. Oakland fumbles the next kickoff. And it was just – Oakland just couldn't get their feet underneath them. They finally did. They were down 21-7 in the third. They gave it to the guy that's headed to Georgia. Jordan James goes 75 yards, first play, scores. And then you see it kind of turning a little bit. And then they score, made it 21-20. They go for two. And then, you know, Oakland had them. But I give it to Lipscomb. And that's a – Dilfer's done a heck of a job over there. That's a good program now. And Alex Broom, of course, his dad is the head coach at Overton, Arsente Broom, and he's going to Boston College. They couldn't stop him last night. I mean, he was just running everywhere. They had a few trick plays at Lipscomb Ramp. It was the game that we all hoped it was. I mean, it was fantastic, an environment. And what bugged me the most, and I get on my soapbox for a second, only one TV station showed highlights last night of that game. And my friends, that is absolutely pathetic that only one TV station showed highlights of that huge game last night.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it deserves the spotlight. And then Oakland, they're going to do this again in a couple of weeks when they play CPA.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep going. So by the time they get to the playoffs, they'll be battle-tested and ready to go. And I think can't stop. I mean, any team can get beat, obviously, but they still got to play Riverdale in a few weeks. That's a tough game for them down there.
Is that their biggest test in the district, you think, Riverdale?
By far. Yeah, by far, because Blackman's not having a great year. Siegel's down a little bit, and it'll be them. Riverdale's got a great team. Their defense is fantastic. They play Smyrna tonight at Smyrna. That's a big game in Rutherford County. So look for Oakland to really have their way with most teams. But, you know, emotions on a Friday night and the crowd, and you just never know what happens. But if Oakland can play their type of football, they'll go all the way.
Talking to Joe Dubin, and Joe, you got my juices flowing there when you mentioned Arsente Broom. I've met him a few times. Great guy, and just you got to love a guy, and you fall into this category, right? Born and raised, just loves and breathes high school football. He's been a coach for a long time. He was a great player on a great high school team back in the day. And now I love to hear the second generation is coming through too.
I totally agree, William. He was with the Stratford. He was a coach at Maplewood. He was in Gavin for a while. And
Joe, do you remember the details? He was on a great Stratford team, right? Was it? I forget the – I'm trying to remember all the details. I feel like Michael Coleman, who ended up playing Major League Baseball, was on that team. They had a great team.
They did. That was when, I mean, that's what Stratford was great. A good community supported that football team. And he's given back to the community. I mean, he was the head coach at Maple for so many years. And look, I'd go to those Maplewood games and cover them Friday night. There'd be 30 people in the stands. He coached like there was 100,000 people there. He didn't care. He loved those kids. He embraced those kids. We talk all the time. He is fantastic. Now he's at Overton. And coaches like him, we need in Metro, who love these yep. kids and support these kids and lift these kids up and take these kids home after practice and make sure they get food on the table. And I talked about this, make sure their light bill is paid. That's what these coaches in Metro do. And Arsente Broom is at the top. And there's no wonder that his son is an outstanding football player, but a better kid. And that's why, again, I love high school football because of guys like Arsente Broom who give their all for their kids. And that's exactly right, Willie. He does a great job, and he's so vital to our community as a football coach.
Those guys are gold for sure. All right, let's stay with the theme. Joe, East Nashville, my backyard here, they're hosting Independence. Huge game over here tonight. Can East Nashville hang?
Yes, East Nashville's got a great team. Independence is really good, though. But
they are. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, that's a game if you're looking in the city to go to a game tonight, support a Metro team, go there. East Nashville's got a great program, great student-athletes. Independence, Scott Blade has another good team. They're really good. Their record is deceiving. They're much better than their record. They play tonight. That's going to be a fun game, a fun environment over there at an historic high school. So go out. That's a Metro game to go see tonight. It's right near downtown. And, again, it's a fantastic setting. Two great programs, two great coaches. Go see that game.
All right, Joe, let's switch to on the private side. You've got another game that, you know, never fails to entertain. Brentwood Academy against MBA. Break that one down for us.
It does. So Brentwood Academy's 3-2. MBA's 2-3. MBA's kind of getting on their feet a little bit. They've had a rough kind of spot there. But this is one of those games where, again, if both teams were 0-5 or 5-0, it wouldn't matter because they just want to beat each other so bad. That's why this game is so important. So many historic players have come through the years that have gone on to the NFL. I mean, you look, you know, Ingle Martin, of course, at CPA played there, but Jalen Ramsey at Brentwood Academy played there. Derek Barnett. I mean, these guys are now the NFL that, you know, you go back. I guarantee you ask Jalen Ramsey right now, but NBA, he'd talk to you for an hour about that. That's how important this game is, and that also sets the tone in that division, that region, who's going to take it. But the points, again, points for the high school football. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but that's a pick 'em. Just because of the history between these two squads, it's an NBA tonight. Great setting again for high school football. And the winner gets the upper hand in the region. So you throw the old records out, whatever they say. That's going to be a good football game tonight.
All right, JoJo, Main Street Preps. That's where everybody needs to go to check it out. Scores, all those things, the things that we used to do on the Game Blitz. Are there any other games that we have left off that you think people need to pay attention to?
Yes, down in Tullahoma tonight, Tullahoma hosts Pearl Cone. It's a Class 4, Region 5 game. Both teams are unbeaten. Pearl Cone 5-0, Tullahoma 4-0. This might be Pearl Cone's toughest test in the region all year. If you've not been to Tullahoma for a football, I mean, it's a huge stadium. It's that typical, you know, town out in the country where everybody comes to the game on Friday night. That's going to be a huge crowd there tonight to see that game. That's a game to keep your eye on because Pearl Cone might be the best Metro football team since Overton won the state title in 1981. I'm not kidding. Undefeated, they're fantastic. The last Metro team to win a title, Hillsboro in 2008. So Pearl Cone has everything in front of them to win the state championship this year. So that's what I'd keep my eye on tonight. Also out in Sumner County, Hendersonville hosts Ravenwood. Ravenwood, after losing the first game, Will Hester has got the team back again. They're 4-1. Hendersonville lost the first game of the year to Oakland. Oakland put him pretty bad, like 42-7. After the game, I was told that the Hendersonville coach, he was upset that they lost the game, but I was told that he told his guys, all right, I know where Oakland is. I know where we are. I know where we need to get to. And that's a great way to tell your guys that, oh, we're never going to do anything. Look, that's how good Oakland is. We can be this good. Here's the example in the field today. Let's get there. So now they welcome in Ravenwood tonight. So that's a great game. Also out in the country. And then Riverdale at Smyrna tonight, huge game in Rutherford County. There's a lot of history in that game as well. So good games all over on a Friday night.
I love it, JoJo. We appreciate the time. Who's DCA got?
I'm going to Chattanooga. They play Silverdale Academy tonight. Hey, real quick, Chase, before we go, Waverly's back home tonight. They play Stewart County. So for those who are so interested, hopefully a lot of us still are interested in Waverly, they're back home tonight as they take on Stewart County. So remember
That's
those
awesome.
Kids and support that program tonight as they get back on their home field tonight.
Awesome. Well, safe travels to Chattanooga, and hope little Dubin, that's not so little anymore, has a good game.
Appreciate you, boys. I'll see you next week. Thank you.
Joe Dubin, Main Street Media, Main Street Preps is where you can get all the high school football news. And as you know, JoJo is a big fan of high school football, huge supporter of high school football, and has been for a long time. Joins us every Friday at 11. We will have much more coming, including you just made the list at noon. But first, Darren, you have a word.
I do want to talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because they've been helping me improve my quality of life for years. And I know they've helped a lot of you out there as well become healthier and happier. And I hope you want that like I do. And I know a lot of you do. If you've been dealing with maybe tacking on some unwanted pounds here lately and you would like to shed them, well, they believe heavily in weight loss management. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track, shedding those pounds and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. It's important to me. And it gets tougher as we get older. Well, their experienced staff would be more than happy to sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. Can't figure out why. Don't have that same drive. Don't have that same energy. Feeling sluggish. Maybe even experiencing some mood swings. You're like, what the heck is going on? Well, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, their experienced staff can talk to you about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof. It's a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. Those are just some of the things they do. If you want to see everything they do, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or if you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Thank you, Paul. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Got some news to pass along. By the way, we've also got our game of the week. It'll be on 94.9. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our game of the week will be the Eagles and the Cowboys on Monday night. Kickoff is set for 7:15, so keep that in mind. On Monday night, if you're out and about and you'd like to listen to the game, Dallas and Philadelphia,
I'll probably tune into that one.
94.9, kickoff at 7:15. Looks like Carson Wentz was practicing today. We had Jeffrey Gorman on. He said, I believe his words were, no quarterback that didn't practice on Friday has ever started a game for Frank Reich.
Yeah, he went on the record and said that this week and said, my general rule, he said, it's, you know, it's a case by case. He said it's not a hard and fast rule, but he said my general rule is if you don't practice on Friday, that you're not going to play. He said, you know, we will make exceptions, but this is a big thing that Wentz is out there for them. It's, I mean, I it was hard to get a read on it, but I guess he's able to do some things today, and that would lead you to believe he's going to give it a go.
Well, we shall see. Or he's leaving the window open. Because if he's saying you've got to practice on Friday, then at least he's just leaving. But it doesn't mean they necessarily believe he's going to be able to go. It just means, hey, we need you to practice on Friday so you're an option on Sunday. And it keeps the Titans guessing. They've got three quarterbacks they have to prepare for.
So let's lock it in. What do you guys think? You think he plays?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I do not.
I think he does.
Okay. That's how I thought this would go. I don't think he plays. I think today, like you said, is a let's see. It's a formality, but they're going to be able to tell enough, you know, even on a Friday practice, if, hey, is him being in the game actually going to make us better, or is he, you know, a statue and not going to be able to move around, and it's actually going to hurt us more than it's going to help us. They're going to know that. I think he's going to know that, and I think the coaching staff is going to know that. So it's a let's see. Now, could he, like you said, could he be available? Could he be dressed? Could he be the backup or the emergency or whatever? Sure, that's possible. But I don't think he plays.
I think you also have the option of taking it all the way up until Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if you got out there at 9 a.m. or 9:30 and saw him running around to try to test it out on Sunday morning. I think it'll go that far before they decide.
Possibly.
But I think if he keeps improving, he's going to try. This is too big of a game for him to miss if he has any shot of playing.
But he's got – I mean, he's literally listed on the injury report with ankles. It says ankles. If – you know,
well, he played on the one. Like, the one got sprained early in the game. He stayed in there. So that obviously isn't the issue. I think it's the other ankle that's really the source of, you know, what are we looking at
here? Is it the plant leg or is it the – like, what's the worse of the two? Like, when he drops back – if you're watching the stream, I'm trying to – like when he drops back, is it the back foot or is it the front foot?
I'm not sure which one.
I'd be curious.
Which one he hurt or which one. But, you know, I think they're both important. It's, you know, it's the lateral movement. It's the being able to slide because that's something that Wentz can do well. He can move.
Well, and you got to worry about – see, here's the other part. You know, this is the protecting the player from himself. Instinctually – if he sees the pass rush coming, he's going to move. He's going to want to move. And getting him to say to himself, no, I just need to take the sack. I can't roll out of it like I usually would. I mean, that's adding something right there that is going to be difficult for him to do. Like just convincing himself, no, I can't do this. I can't move around, you know. So I go back to what I said.
You say no. It's just hard to read. The three of us are sitting here. We're just guessing, because only they know. But it just would surprise me if they are making up their mind. If they know right now, I'm not sure that they know. If he's practicing today, that means he's in play, and I think they'll probably wait and see it. You know, how does it feel tomorrow? How does it feel Sunday morning? And then it'll be time to decide.
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd be surprised if he played. He hasn't practiced all week, by the way, so this would be the first time he's out there.
Which for some guys doesn't matter.
I don't know how you – and here's – if he was Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning – Eli Manning, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, elite.
No. That's not where I'm going. What else do those guys all have in common?
Hall of Famers? Or potential or future Hall of Famers?
They don't move. Like they don't I mean they do a slides, but I mean a slide step, but I mean they're not going to take off. Those are not mobile quarterbacks. Like Carson Wentz, that is a part of what he does. He is a mobile quarterback. He's a guy that, you know, will take off and run. He was a guy that will run around to give it. I mean, he's not afraid to move around. And so you're taking something away from him. I don't think he's particularly great when he's healthy. I'm not sold on Carson Wentz. I don't think he's ever going to be a great quarterback in the league. I think he's just going to be, okay. Just enough to always keep you intrigued. He's got
a
big frame. You know, he looks the part, but I just don't think he's ever going to truly play the part as in being an upper-tier quarterback. But for a guy who's mobile and a guy that depends on his legs at times, that to me does say – if he was just a guy who was a statue, like it wouldn't – if Philip Rivers had two sprained ankles, who cares? I mean, yes, it could still affect him, but it's not like he's going to worry about taking off. You know, he's not going to do any of that. And so – if you take that away from Wentz, what is he? I mean, does anybody view him as a great thrower?
No.
I don't view him as a great thrower.
My theory all week long is they're going to lean heavily on the running game this week. They are going to really, really sell out to run the ball and try to minimize the times he is put in that position. But I don't know if I would assume – that we know the degree of his mobility right now. We don't know. I look at this as the Colts made a massive investment and commitment when they went and got Carson Wentz. And I think he wants to play. He's gonna do everything he can to get in there, even if he's not 100%. He's also got a pretty decent level of toughness. It may not be the right move to put him in there. But I just think for all those reasons, if it's close, they're going to give him a chance to go in there and make his mark. They're paying a huge dead cap penalty to have him on there. You know, if he plays well, they're going to have to give up a first-round pick. I think there's a lot. This is such a big game for them. I think this is one where if it's anywhere close, he's going to say, I got to be in there for my team. If this is my team, this is such a big game, I've got to give it a go. That's just my theory. Again, all of us are just giving theories. We're sitting here in Nashville. We don't have any inside information. We've asked all of our Colts people that we've had on this week, but you're getting the same answers from them. None of them know.
Well, the thing is, and I respect a player that's like, hey, I got to do this for my team. I got to suck it up. That's fine, but just how effective can he be? And going back to what Darren said, and I agree with it, like, he's average at best. If an average quarterback is less than 100%, how much does that really help your team? Is he truly going to be better than Brett Hundley?
Yes.
At this point?
Yes.
I would say
Brett Hundley's terrible. They don't want to put Brett Hundley in there.
Most people are better than Brett Hundley.
Yeah. And I really don't think
I'm probably not
Eason in there. But Eason has been with them
on an NFL roster, though. That's the difference.
Eason has been manning the number one offensive practice for weeks. They've had a pretty good look at him. I don't know that they're really super excited to have him in there, but I think that they have tried. This is just a theory. They're going to try to simplify what they're asking the quarterback to do in this game if they can. I think they're just going to do everything they can to run the ball, stay in the game, and make it easy on the quarterback. So if it's Wentz, he's not going to be asked to run around a lot. Now, that's the thing that Wentz usually can't control himself. He can't. He just has this knack of wanting to stick his nose in there, show how tough he is, and he takes hits. He doesn't slide. There was a couple times against the Rams, he dove head first. I think that's always been a thing for him. And he also takes criticism for taking chances. Last week he had the shovel pass in the red zone that he threw a pick on. It was a sort of an unforced pick, the mistakes. So I think that's going to be the thing for Wentz if he plays, is if he is hampered a little bit with mobility, I would think he's hampered some, but can he be disciplined enough to stay within himself and stay in there? Because I do wonder what they think. If he's at, let's just put a number on it, 75%, is that still giving them a better chance to win than Eason at 100%? Or the combination of Eason and Hundley?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think going in, and I thought going into this game that, you know, the Titans were the better team anyway, and I think even with Wentz, the Titans have a pretty good chance of winning. I know anything can happen in the NFL, but I think they're coming off as a stinker in their opener at home. They're going to try and avenge that. They're coming off an emotional high of how they won the game last week. I think you saw some things get turned around, especially in the second half. Can they sustain that? Sure, that's a question and a fair one. But I think even with Wentz at 100%, the Titans are better, in my opinion.
But that's not, by the way, that's not where their injuries stop.
Right.
We know T.Y. Hilton's on IR. He's not a factor. By the way, Darius Leonard has been on the injury report. In fact, hasn't practiced much this week, if at all. I suspect he's practicing today. But he's banged up. He's kind of important to them on defense. He's kind of a big deal.
I think if you started listing the key guys injured on both teams, it's a pretty, if you take Wentz out of the mix, that's the biggest one. But each team has got a few things that would concern you. Of course, the Titans have the safety issue that they're trying to get through. We know the whole situation with their draft picks. They're not getting any, thing from them. They've got the offensive line issues. It looks like Lewan and Saffold are making progress. They'll be in there, but I'm not sure that they're 100%. But you're right, Darren. Also on the offensive line for the Colts, they're juggling some things there at the tackle position in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a matchup to watch. Xavier Rhodes, the corner, they haven't had yet. They'd love to get him back in this game, and it looks like he might play. So you're right. It's not just Wentz. But I think as you go forward, you sort of expect there to be a lot of issues that each team has to deal with not being at 100%. It's so crazy. But already in week three, you're dealing with a list of things like that.
You're right. There's no question that every week that goes by, you're going to look at every team and realize they've got key injuries, right? I mean, you're just not going to avoid them. I mean, that's life in the NFL. And so that is not going to change, and it's going to be on the Titans' end too. I mean, so to your point, you're right. But, I mean, these are not just guys, right? It's not like, oh, yeah, no, he's kind of important. Like, Amania Hooker is nice, right? But, I mean, it's not like, let's say, Jeffrey Simmons not being in there, right? Who's a little bit – I mean, I get it. We should praise Hooker because he's really worked himself into an important guy. But Darius Leonard is – I mean, he is the straw for that Colts defense, is he not? I mean,
no doubt.
He is really, really important. I mean, it's just like if Wagner wouldn't have played last
week. But he's
been
playing.
That affects Seattle's defense.
But Leonard has been playing. He has an injury that is hurting him that he's working through. And I don't remember the specifics. I've been listening and reading about it. It's, it's something, it's a pain threshold kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But and he may not be 100%, but he'll be in there without a doubt. So I go back to the desperate situation the Colts are in, and that's why I'm really curious what lengths does Carson Wentz sort of try to be the hero to play, and how does Frank Reich interpret that as he believes in this guy, he went and traded for this guy, he's not 100%, he wants to play. How important is it for him to stretch it and push it when they're 0-2 to get him in there and give him a shot? And who would be the person to say, Carson, I know how bad you want to play, but it's week three. You're not 100%. I've watched you, and you've got to sit this one out. And we've got 14 games after today that we need you for, and you'll be better next week. That's a tough call, don't you think? Because that's where you rely on Carson Wentz to give you a straight answer of, hey, can you remember what Herm Edwards would always tell us? Hey, I don't need to know if you can start the game. I need to know if you can finish the game. And if you can't finish the game, you do me no good at all. If I've got to sit you out after a quarter, hey coach, I gave it a shot. I just, I can't go. Well, then we're screwed. Right? If we can make the determination on the front end that I can get other people in there, and I can set my roster accordingly. But it doesn't do you any good to try to be the hero and then find out about a quarter into the game that you're not worth anything.
Yeah.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what's up?
Man, I'm with Willie on this. I think he's absolutely got to play. Like, look at their options, man. 0-1 with a pick, Eason, and then Ellinger. They're not good. So even two broke ankles on your starting quarterback's better than what you could have. Just this game, though, man, screams Jim Schwartz to me. Like, if you know that you're going to have an immobile quarterback, no matter how you look at it, the other two guys aren't very good at it, but he's just going to be standing back there, man. And our secondary as well is not very good if you give him opportunity. So I feel like you should be drawing blitzes like 95% of the time. I'll see what y'all thought.
Well, that's going to be a pick six question. I'm just right now. I'm just telling
a little you. Little teaser, a little hint of what's coming.
You said you wanted to see if their defense had turned a corner. We're about to find out because this is set up for them to have a successful day. So we'll find out where you go with that.
It's a great question. I think it's because I really think that Todd Downing answered a big question last week. And can he weather the storm? Can he find the formula and get this offense have the keys to the offense and figure out how to make this work when you have the best non-quarterback weapon in football and Derrick Henry. He showed that he can do it last week under fire. But now, and then the other question is, can the defense just be adequate? If the defense is adequate, then you're talking about a team that maybe could compete for a Super Bowl. And so what can they build on what they did in the second half at Seattle? I think it's a great question, Darren. And as far as the blitz part of it, and Chase, I'll be curious to hear what you think. With the tackle issues for the Colts, can you get the pressure without having to bring an extra two guys? You know, is this a game where Bud Dupree and Harold Landry can really put the heat? This Colts offensive line has had trouble protecting their quarterback the first two games, but it's been against the Seahawks and the Rams. This is not the Seahawks and the Rams front that they're facing here. So this is a big, big statement type of game for Dupree and for Landry.
Who? Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
Bud Dupree. Okay.
Make a mark. It's time to make a mark.
You know what? And I'll make a decree on Bud Dupree.
Well, do it on the other side.
A decree.
I'll do it on the other side.
By the way, the NFL has also announced something about their playoff games.
Yes.
Starting this season. We'll tell you about that on the other side as well. You're going to want to hear this. This is groundbreaking. This is something brand new, and I'm just going to go on and say it. I love it. We'll do that to close out the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. That's next. Hey, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, October 17th, all you have to do is go to YouTube. Subscribe to 102.5 The Game's YouTube page, and you will automatically be entered for a chance to see Zach Brown Band at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, October 17th. A winner will be chosen this Monday, September 27th. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, you hear the music.
Can I make fun of myself real quick before you say what you pay off the tees? When I, even as far back as high school, let this play for a second, Elijah, I would have the dreams and I would interact with this song and reenact, I should say. And I would say, and welcome in Chase McKay, Monday Night Football, alongside the Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, as the Titans take on the Colts here tonight. I would do that.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. You don't make fun of that. That's the dream, man. We're living the dream.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
And now, Darren, we're going to hear the decree on Dupree.
Well, he's going to pay off the tees, and then I'll do that.
So the NFL has announced that Wild Card Weekend will be capped off by one game, the final game on Wild Card Weekend, on Monday night. Speaking of that,
love it.
How about that? And it's going to start this season. What a concept! You don't need like 6 years to figure it out, NCAA. Are you listening? Hey, BCS playoff, or it's not BCS anymore. Playoffs, right? College football playoffs. Wow, you actually just went on and said, we're going to implement this and we're going to do it right now. We don't need to like think about it for 5 or 6 years. We're going to go on and stick Wild Card Weekend, the final game of Wild Card Weekend, on Monday Night Football. Not bad. I like it. So they're going to have two games on Saturday, three on Sunday. How about that? Triple header on Sunday.
Love that.
Early afternoon, middle of the day, night game.
Love
and
it.
Then a Monday night game. I love it.
I think it's fantastic. And it'll be they haven't said what network is going to do the Monday night game yet, because CBS and NBC, Fox, and ESPN/ABC are all going to be airing games that weekend. So it could, you know, it could be NBC. It could be CBS.
I suspect it'll be ABC. ESPN or ABC. That's my guess.
I think that would be fitting because they are the Monday night crew.
Right. I think they're going to give it to where you've been now going here's all my season question. For Monday night.
Here's my question. If it is, do we get Peyton and Eli?
Well, I mean,
ooh,
of course. What do you mean?
Well, you say of course. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any
indication. Unless they don't want to do it. But, I mean, this has been such a huge hit. I mean, that horse is three farms over. Like, they can't get it back now. Like,
right.
That's why I said going to ESPN Plus, like, oh, okay, I get it. But when your numbers get cut in half, because as much as I praise it and love it and talk about it every Tuesday on the show, I'm not getting ESPN Plus for it. And by the way, there's going to be a whole lot of people just like me. Yeah, the younger demo, they probably will. But I think the temptation is too much to keep it. It's going to, I think they're going to get, and by the way, they weren't going to put it on ESPN2. And I said, I'll be curious to see if they come running back to ESPN2. And look, they already did, even after week one, and week two was even a bigger hit. I think it's going to be tough to go away from that platform. I really do. It's just too big now. I don't think that. I think they knew it was going to be a good idea, a good concept. I don't think they knew it was going to be this good. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I think the question. I think you're right, but I think now the question is: after the novelty wears off and the newness, can they sustain it?
I don't think
as an every week thing. As an every week thing, and do they want to do that? I think they're having a blast right now, but. Like you guys have said many times, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, they got a lot of things that they love to do. They don't like really getting pinned down to doing anything, any one thing, doing work.
Yeah, but you know what? Like all those the clips that are out there,
they don't need money.
No, but they're not doing it. Peyton loves that he can get on national television, and you're now seeing what Peyton Manning was like at the line of scrimmage. I mean, him reenacting. He had the Ravens helmet on and him calling the play at the line and changing. And he said, I just called two plays at once. And then I just hit can. I say can. I just canned the first play.
It's
and now you're going on the second play.
Nobody's questioning that. I just wonder does he want to do that every week.
Well, I think he does because I think he misses doing that. Like, that's how it comes off to me because I saw that look on his face of like, that is the sheriff.
He's into it. There's no doubt about that.
If anyone was going to say like, I gave it a year, I'll do it, I think it's Eli. But I think Peyton's realizing he likes this. But being in a traditional.
It's an every week, every year commitment. If it's going to stick, that's what we're going to find out. And is it going to be something that, like we've said before, the people are like, okay, this is great, but let's just put Peyton in the booth, and
he doesn't want that. That's not what he wants. He wants this forum to do whatever, however he wants. It's loose. It's loosey goosey. It's not tight. You don't have the host bringing them in and out of breaks. They're just sitting there talking football, and that's what he wants.
I agree. And so then my question is, if that's the format, then will that stick or will it get old and people are like, okay, you know, this was a fun little thing, but it sort of run its course. I don't know. That's what we're going to find out.
I don't know how it gets old. I mean, he's honestly teaching all of us about football every single week.
I mean, you learn
stuff every single 2 weeks. I've learned more than I would. I wouldn't learn anything from a broadcast. I understand it's a different platform. You're just calling a game, but like this, you're actually learning. Like that, you can't do that on a broadcast.
Okay, let me throw one thing at you, Darren. On this, here is the only thing I could see coming up. He's so good at this, and can read. You know, what an offense or a defense is going to do, our team's going to, like, say to ESPN, like, hey, he's giving away too much. Like, he's figuring too much out and saying too much.
Tony Romo's done that. I mean, the same thing?
Yeah, and he's – yeah, I mean
– why is that any different than what Tony
– he's
Tony Romo
back a
has
bit.
Been praised because that's exactly what Tony Romo was doing on broadcast. Okay, right now they've got the blitz coming. Look for that. You can see – I mean, he was telling you formations on the broadcast. So what's different?
I just feel like he's more detailed with it. Like,
because he can be
right.
But
Tony Romo
but
could be, but he could.
But the league really has nothing to say. ESPN would be like, hey, that's
right.
Your problem, man.
Exactly. That is exactly right, Willie.
Our viewers. We have to serve, man.
Hey,
we give our viewers
$1 billion. Okay, you just deal with it.
Right.
We write you a big check. So deal with it. I don't think the ESPN cares whether coaches are upset what Peyton and Eli are saying. It's not their problem. It's like, look whose salaries we're paying with our checks. So you just deal with it. You know, when you make $4 million a year, where do you think that's coming from? Too bad.
Yeah.
Now, real quick on Bud Dupree, when I said who?
The decree on Dupree.
I get it. He's coming off a major injury. I get it. I've been there. Willie, you've been there. We understand. But they also paid him a lot of money. They didn't pay him a lot of money to ease back in. Like, it's time to start reaping the benefits of Bud Dupree that we saw in Pittsburgh, is it not?
Yep. That's why my decree is Bud Dupree will register his first sack as a Tennessee Titan on Sunday. You can put that down. It's going to happen.
Okay. You're going to top shelf that?
I am top shelf on the record. Bud Dupree will record his first sack as a
first
Titan.
First full sack? Not yes. A half sack.
Yes.
Full sack.
Yes. His first sack as a Titan.
Not a helper.
Not a helper. No splitsies.
Not a Jerry.
It
what?
He will get his first one on Sunday.
Okay. Book it. Bookets haven't worked well, just so you know. When you
for him,
the,
maybe, they work well, words, maybe they work better it. For me.
Okay. So you feel good about saying book it.
I do.
Willie, you willing to go there? You're not saying much, so I don't think you're in the
I'm
same
not,
camp.
I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
I, again, go towards pressures. I think he has done a decent job of getting pressure. I just think I look more like long term, over the long haul, will the sacks come? But remember, Chase remembers this. Darren was on vacation when I first put this out there. The Football Outsiders, they were skeptical. You know, the theory on Bud Dupree was he's been overpaid because he was the best out there, so they had to pay big money to get him, especially coming off a big ACL. And when you look at the numbers, he was the beneficiary of a really good defense and playing on the other side of TJ Watt. He doesn't have TJ Watt on this team, so he's got to be the focal point. And is he good enough to do it coming off of an ACL? Probably not based on what they're paying for. So he's a good player, but they're not sure he's a great player.
So basically,
I mean, he could get
Floyd
a sack
Reese,
this week just by moving in the right direction, getting lucky. You can get one sack.
Yeah,
but that's
Floyd,
not what they're looking
you're
for.
You're saying what Floyd Reese used to tell us: just because you gave him a truckload of money doesn't mean that he's a superstar player.
Right. He said that when the Titans signed Clowney.
But they had to have something. They had to try something, and so I think he's a good player. But I think if you're saying, well, we paid this, we should get this, I think you're setting the expectations probably a little too high.
Do you need to exit stage left?
I do. I do. NHL broadcast meetings are today.
Okay.
Not in person, so I'm not jumping a plane to New York. So
you're zooming.
I'm zooming in.
Okay.
Zooming in. Whoa. But I'll be back ready to rumble. But I'm expecting the text of the six of the six questions.
It's coming.
I will be ready to participate from afar.
Okay. We'll have fun zooming.
But I'll actually be sitting right here.
We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay. Sounds good, guys.
We'll come back. You just made the list to start the third hour. That's next.